The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
We will stop and give you praise. Let me hear you. For great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. Has God been good to you? Have you enjoyed any grace from the Lord? Have you? Any favors from Him? Any enablement from Him? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ready for more this morning? Have your seat. It's about to get interesting this morning. Are you ready for the word? Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is my Bible. Are you ready now? This is my Bible. Lift it up. Make sure you're not lying. Where is your Bible? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. See, today, I will be taught the word of God. I will be changed. My life will not remain the same. See, today, I will be taught the word of God. I will be changed. My life will not remain the same. It is given to me to understand the things of the kingdom. And I am blessed. Glory to God. Stand. I have a wonderful treasure. The show me now. Look at someone that doesn't have a Bible inside and say, hey, yeah. So let's do it again. I have a wonder. Yes. We will travel together. Show me. Repent next Sunday. Have your seat now. Change your evil ways. Buy a Bible. You know, it's important that Christians begin to learn and understand the blessing that the Bible is. Yes, the Bible is not the word that will change you, but it contains the word that will change you. If you read history very well, you find out that it's a great blessing that you can carry Bible. Before we are able to carry this Bible this way, many people we are burnt alive. Are you aware of this? Many we are burnt, but for attempting to make the Bible a general material for everybody. So we are burnt alive. For trying to translate the Bible from Latin to English, so we are burnt alive. Go and read about William Tyndale. Read about many of those guys. Some of them were burnt alive. Killed. Because we want to translate the Bible from whatever language to this one that you have. But today, you have the Bible, you don't even carry it. You see the problem. So they died for nothing. Huh? Buy a Bible, I'm blackmailing you so that I can buy a Bible. That's not what I'm doing. So buy a Bible. Say amen. Amen. Gift yourself a Bible. No one gave you a Valentine gift on Friday. Gift yourself a Bible. Do you understand? So that you will not be too unfortunate. Amen. You can't lose on every side. Don't you think so? No one gifted you a Bible, a Valentine gift. You didn't do any awe. Buy a Bible, put red ribbon on it, keep it on your bed. Shout awe, You feel so good. Glory to God. Ready for the word this morning? So we're talking about the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And we've established again and again that the anointing is the Holy Spirit. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. The anointing is not a thing. It's not a thing. He's a person. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. So the anointing is the Holy Ghost. So, you know, I told you basically that word anointing means to rub something. So it means to rub, to apply something on another thing. So somebody could say, I anointed myself with pomade. Someone can say, I anointed myself with, that's why we anoint people with oil. Now, the Bible is telling us that the anointing upon Jesus, that which was applied on him, that worked on him, that enabled him, was the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Ghost is the anointing. And we've covered a lot of ground, which I cannot attempt to recap now. But just to let you know, we classify this anointing into three to four different places. That is the believer's anointing. And remember, it's the same Holy Ghost. But when we're talking about the different kinds of anointing, different classes of anointing, we're talking about how this same Holy Ghost works in different people. For instance, there is the believer's anointing. When we talk about the believer's anointing, we're talking about the working of the Holy Ghost in every believer. And we listed some of the things anointing does in every believer. There is the working of the Spirit. That's why in a context, every believer is anointed. Every believer. Because the Holy Ghost is in every believer, working out certain things in every believer. That believer's anointing, it's a leveler. Everybody has that anointing equally. I follow what I'm saying. Believer's anointing. Everybody, I mean, is every believer. Although everybody will not flow in it the same way, everyone carries that anointing. For instance, that Holy Ghost in every believer is what works out revelation. Is what works out divine leading. It's in every believer. Then after that, we talked about anointing on ministry gifts. Or generally, the anointing for ministry, which is where we are now. The anointing for ministry. In this, we are not saying that when you are called, that you have a different Holy Ghost than others. That's not what we're saying. We are only saying that same Holy Ghost in everybody will now equip people differently because of the different assignments. It's just like your body. Are you aware that it's the same blood, the same life that flows in your hands, that flows in your legs? You know, right? The same life, same blood flowing in your hand flows any other place that is blood in your body. Are you aware? It's the same life. However, by the time you look at the makeup, if you draw the eye, for instance, the eye is different from the ear. But they are all in the same body. They are all carrying the same blood. They are all carrying the same DNA. They are all carrying the same... I get what I'm talking about. But it is crafted differently just because of its assignment. Are we now going to say that the eye is more important than the ear? The answer is no. It's just that the eye is different from the ear. So, ministers are anointed differently. Not because one has a bigger Holy Ghost than another. Just because their responsibilities differ in some ways. Are you following me? And so there is an anointing at work in me that may not be at work in some other believer. There's an anointing at work in you. And I've explained this, that may not be at work in some other believer. Now, apart from the fivefold ministry, which is apostle, prophet, and all of that, every other ministry responsibility, for instance, the choir now, because these guys are standing in this office, in this position as choristers, there is a grace God has poured out on them that may not be on any other person in this church, even though you can sing. I get what I'm saying. Because some people are serving as ushers, even though you can stand longer than them, they are enabled differently because they're in that office. And so there is anointing for ministry, where God graces people for service. And I want to say this to you, every time you make yourself available to serve in the house of God, He graces you. Every time. At whatever capacity. That's why I said it before, The reason why many people are not actually seeing the mighty move of God upon their lives and through them is because there is nothing they are willing to do in God's house. And God has a word. You know, I was studying the Bible recently, and you know, I got to a place, and well, this is not what that verse is talking about, but I'm just going to read it out for you. The Bible said that the Lord God, you know, that there was no rain on the earth because there was no man to till the earth. Hallelujah. Let me look for that verse. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Let me get it. It's not in my it was not in my plan. But then I want to show you. So there was no man to till the earth. That's Genesis 2. Verse 5. Bible said, give me on the screen. I just want to show you. Genesis 2 and verse 5. Glory to God. He said, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. The reason rain was not falling upon the earth, this is physically now, because there was no man to till the earth. Give me like NLT or other translations of this verse. He said, the Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth, and there was no people to cultivate the soil. So there was no point sending rain because there was nobody to cultivate the soil. And this is actually how the anointing of God works. Because you are not going to utilize it for anything, there is no point for it to rise on your inside. It is people who are going for evangelism, for instance, that the gift of healing will begin to work in their lives. Because they will need it. They will use it. And so when you deny yourself the opportunity to serve, you are actually shutting yourself out from certain graces that could flow in your life. Are you know what I'm talking about? That's why you notice somebody, your friend may be ordinary, just your roommate, and they pick the person and make the person. I saw this a lot when I was in school. They just pick the person and make the person fellowship president or fellowship whatever. And you see the person in 3 weeks, he's doing something. You're wondering, is it not this guy that was in my room? That grace came upon him because he just accepted the responsibility. That's why an opportunity to serve is an opportunity to be graced. An opportunity to serve in God's house is an opportunity to be graced. We saw this in the life of Stephen and in the life of Philip, who were just guys who were in church. Bible said they were full of the Spirit. They were strong men. You know, in Acts chapter 6 verse 3, when they were trying to pick the people that will serve tables, you see the qualification given for them. He said, look here among you, 7 men of honor. Number one, they were men of honest report. What does that mean? It means everybody spoke well of them. Second, they were full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So these were not carnal Christians. But then, even with all of these that they had, when they were now appointed and put in charge of sharing food, by verse 8, the Bible tells us Stephen now became a man full of power, faith and power. And he now began to do great wonders. That impartation came because he started serving. And so, one of the major ways to see the grace of God upon your life gain massive expression is when you get an assignment. That's why, you see here, pastors, ministers, apostles, all of that, we always have more miracles recorded than any other person. Do you know why? They are actively doing something. That same way, if a normal believer can get serious, there is evangelism tomorrow, you are out. We want to go and win souls, you are out. We want to go for missions, you are out. We want to go and preach, you are out. What is happening? You are making yourself available. And you begin to see some graces. I tell you, some of the biggest miracles that I share with you about, I actually didn't see them as a pastor. I saw them just as a Christian. I don't like to use the word normal Christian, but that was how I was, just a Christian. Just that I was involved in everything. Went for evangelism every week. Went to mission work. Went to hospitals to pray for people. All of that. Because I was going, grace was following. I get to the point. I was going, grace was following. Why was the grace there? Because I had something to do. That's the point. I have something to do with it. Why would God put it upon you what it would take to raise the dead? Whereas you will not even go and preach. Where will you meet the dead to raise? So what if my brother dies? How many times will your brother die? in one lifetime. Are you what I'm talking about?
It is, if you're on the go, there is a need. You want to see the healing anointing upon your life? Do something this week. Plan with your friend. Go visit the hospital. Do it 3 times this week. This, the way you will see healing, you yourself will be shocked. Because once you step into an assignment for God, you begin to see that there are graces that you carry that are not aware of. So we're looking at that last Sunday, how that when we step into our place and begin to serve, the grace of God is made manifest. And I began to show you on Thursday how that you can grow in that anointing. You can grow in grace. You can grow in anointing. Now, do not hear what I didn't say. I didn't say the anointing of God in itself can grow. Why didn't I say that? Because it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is perfect. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14. It said, I know that whatever God doeth, it shall be forever. He said, nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken from it. So when God puts an anointing upon you, it's a perfect thing. You can't add, you can't remove. However, because somebody's going to ask, if the anointing of God in me is perfect, and you've told us it's the same Holy Ghost in everybody, why do some people have more manifestation than others? Because you can grow in the anointing. The anointing may not grow, but you can grow in it. Do you know what I'm talking about now? You can grow in it. As you grow in it, you begin to master how it works. And somebody's going to say it's basically the same thing. It's just semantics. No, it's not the same thing. To say that the anointing can grow, if we all agree the anointing is the Holy Ghost, that is to say that the Holy Ghost can grow. I get the point. No. However, you can grow. Just like when God gives you faith. Your faith may not be able to grow. But hear me, you can grow in faith. Building up yourself in your most holy faith. Yourself. So, your faith may not be able to be added, but then you can grow in faith. The Holy Ghost will not increase in you, but you can increase in your flow with the Spirit, in your understanding of the Spirit, in your relationship, in your expressions. You can grow. I began to look at that on Thursday, and I began to show one of the things that's good. I've just listed a few things that will help you grow and have stronger manifestation of the anointing. One of them, for instance, is that you must have a strong personal devotion. If you have a strong devotional life, you are making yourself available for the hand of God to be strong upon your life. What does that mean? Your prayer time, your quiet time, your study life. If those things are strong and solid and consistent, you will see the hand of God upon your life in ways you've never known. Jesus had that routine of waking up every day, Mark 1:35, a great while before day, he will go out to pray. And that was the secret to the grace that you find upon his life, his personal devotion. Again, we looked at the fact that another thing that can make, you know, yourself help you grow in the anointing is that you are aware. You must recognize the grace of God working upon your life. You must recognize the anointing of God. Some of us don't even know what God has put upon our lives. Jesus was such a man, he knew the grace working upon his life. And that's why every time when he was speaking, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. For he has anointed me to do this, to do that, to do this, to do this. He understood what God has put upon his life. That's why when you hear me talk, I say things like, well, I'm anointed to do this. You know, I learned this very much from Kenneth E. Hagin. Anytime he wants to minister to the sick, he would tell them, on so-so day, I had a vision, and Jesus told me to open my arms. And he placed on me an anointing to heal. He tells that story all the time. And the reason is because he knows what God has put upon him. You need to know. Because that way you know that you're not beginning to walk in it. That's why we started by teaching you the believer's anointing, so that you know, for instance, there are certain abilities you have. Some of us don't even know those things are working in our lives. And because we don't know they're working in our lives, we can't even do better with them. You need to recognize that some of you actually are not ordinary. As that's what the general thing believers can do, there are certain special enablements that God has given you. You must recognize it. Not to brag with it, not to be proud, so that you can practice it more. Are you following me? You should know. And if you know, you can flow better with it. You can flow better with it. I get the point.
You know, as you begin to grow, one sign that you are growing the anointing, you know, one of the signs is that you will be able to know how the anointing of God flows through you and the character of the anointing that you carry. You know, last night, before we went to bed, we were listening to the great man of God, Reverend Dr. Maokwai, and then the man has been, you know, when he was just mentioned, I was just thinking, this man has been able to master the character of the anointing upon his life. You keep hearing him say things like, as I move from songs to songs, he has mastered what can open any atmosphere. The man sometimes will sing in a meeting, 14 cripples will get up and walk at once. Sometimes. Now, he has mastered how the thing works. That's awareness. He knows. You get the point? He came to that meeting and told them that today 10,000 of you are going to get it without prayer. He said, I will just move from song to song. I know what I'm saying. But he has mastered how this thing works in his life. It's one sign that you are growing. I get the point. When I get into, I don't know that I will do that. When if I narrow this down more to ministry, any day the Lord leads me to do that, I'm going to show some of you how to even minister on stage. For instance, I know what to do. Any meeting you send me to, and I'll open that atmosphere. I know what to do. I know it. You may not know. Me, I know. Do you understand? No, it may not be the same for you. You get the point? Talk about Dr. Omar, for instance. Give him any atmosphere that has refused to open. Once he does that, he's Tuaraya Mama. Even if he's in Asia, and they don't understand Igbo, I'm telling you, everywhere is going to open. Now he has mastered it. Do you understand? That's one way, one sign that you're growing the anointing. I told you, one of the things that happened to Jesus, when power left Jesus, he knew. He said, virtue has gone out of me. That's a man that has mastered his flows. Virtue has gone. Such that when you make progress in the anointing, when the grace of God upon your life accomplishes something, you will feel it, you will know it. And that's why God is going to help you, because we're going to do a lot in this series. I thought if we don't finish, we'll continue next month. Because one of the ways to know, you know, some of you, as you, when you start your ministry, when you lay hands on some people and they fall, you are happy. You think it has worked. As you grow, you do not need people to fall for you to know that something has touched them. You will just know. Not by faith, just that you know. And that's why you can see, you see a man of God, put this on someone that is bedridden. And just removed his hand and said, he's healed already. How did he know that? And the next day, the person starts up beginning to shout. You get the point? Watch Pastor Chris healing meetings. You see this a lot. We just touch him and say, he's healed already. And just move away. And the person just gets up and begins to shout. You can't copy those things. Do you understand? There is the working of God upon your life. You must know it. One of the ways you're going to recognize that, actually, is by more use. As you keep using and working with that anointing, you'll be able to understand that anointing better. That's why people who are not actively doing ministry are not putting the grace of God upon their life to use. If you're not actively laying hands on the sick, if you're not actively casting out devils, if you're not actively preaching the gospel to someone, if you're not actively serving in church, you are not putting the grace of God upon your life to use. So how can you master it? You master what you've used for long. You master what you've used for long. So, at the end, this is a call for you to do much more ministry. Because that's how you can master that. There is a grace working upon my life, and I've got to use it much more. I even know what to do with it. I know how to handle it. Because as you use and flow in the Spirit some more, you become more proficient. You become more accurate. You become more precise. You have more results as you do it much more. In fact, even singing, for instance, the first day they may give you mark to sing, you may fidget. But you notice, once you keep singing on that stage, in 1 year, 2 years, even if that anointing growing, you would have mastered how to use your stage better. I'm just telling you, you just know how to use your stage better. You just know what to do. And it's same thing, same with skill, same with the anointing. Just like if you're on stage now, if you are very new to handling your stage, and you just come up to sing, and you say, glory to God, and as they wanted to play the keyboardist or whoever begins to play off key. Huh? Yes. Begins to play off key. Or you yourself, you sing off key. My point, something happens that you didn't plan for on stage. If you're someone that is mature, that has mastered the stage, he can coordinate and keep flowing. That person will start sweating under AC. Because he doesn't even know where to start again. Imagine you guys plan to play key A. Keyboard is playing key J or key Q or Z. Which one? Or playing no key at all. Just making us on the keyboard. You just stay lost. But someone that's master stage knows what to do at that point. Again, that calls for consistency. And that's the same thing I was saying last Thursday. When you see someone who has been a doctor for a very long time, maybe has been having a lot of mothers, put a gynecologist or something, and then this particular delivery, no matter what the baby does, he has seen that case before. He knows what to do. But someone who just knew in the business just sees, maybe they told him that normally placenta should be here, and then for this baby, placenta tied the neck. He may start crying. He might just be confused. But then, by experience. Now some of you put us on the sick. Come and say, Pastor, he was not healed. If he was not healed, you should know what to do. Instead of just prayed for someone, the person didn't get well, they came back to Jesus and they were so frustrated. Jesus did his own. The guy wasn't healed. He put us a second time. That's mastery. He said, what is this? I see men like trees. He did it again. If man has seen, I see men like animals, he would do it again. Do you understand? Until he would not see men clearly. Must master how the anointing works. But again, it's by use. It's by practice. This series will call for you to get to the street and exercise the gift of God upon your life. Yes. If not, this series is useless to you. Because the whole idea of every Bible teaching is practice. Yeah. Every teaching on prayer that does not produce prayer is waste of time. Every teaching on the anointing that does not produce practice and flowing in the anointing is a waste of time for you. So much more use. So we're looking at that on Thursday. When you use the gift of God some more, you're going to find, you know, yourself grow in the anointing. And we're looking at faithfulness, for instance. Faithfulness with whatever God has asked you to do. Because we are looking at the fact that in your dealings with God, there are phases. Do you remember that? There are phases. And for you to move from one phase of your calling to another, you have to be faithful. And for every time you move from one phase to another, there is an extra expression of the grace of God upon your life. Every time. Are you following me? Every time. And we'll look at that. We saw that a lot on Thursday. So let's touch something else today. Is that okay? We're still talking about how to grow in the anointing. How to grow in the anointing. And that will help you grow in the anointing and become better with the anointing is training. Training. Because what that when you are called to a ministry or you have an assignment, now God graces you. But when you give yourself to training, you even learn to use that anointing better. For instance, you can be called to be a pastor. By being called to be a pastor, God already has anointed you for the pastoral. But when you are now trained for that pastoral office, you find out that grace upon your life will begin to get expression much more. Much more. It's just like, you know, there are people that learn how to play football. But there are people that are born with football. Are you aware? You know who I'm talking about, right? Thank you. Some people are born with it. Others struggle to do it. And fight all over the place. But some are born with it. Glory to God. You know who is born with football? Huh? The one and only. Who is the person? Lionel Messi is born with football. Don't doubt it. The guy, if you look, you know, if you watch his videos when he was 5 and all of that, almost all these skills you are seeing now, he was doing it then. But look at the point. If he was not trained, if he didn't get to Barcelona Academy and they started training and all of that, he would have ended up an average person. Even though, you know how people make some crazy comments like, they try to compare Ronaldo and Messi. They say Messi is talent, Ronaldo is hard work. That's balderdash. That's nonsense. There's nothing like, there is no talent that if you don't match with hard work, that will keep you on the scene for that long. It's not possible. Now, I'm just telling you, ministry, business, just like someone is, you know, there are people that are born with music. Say people, they can just sing naturally. If you don't train yourself, you will fail. You will fail. You will fail. Because, you know, a documentary came up recently about Lionel Messi, and they showed how that, you know, I think it was David Beckham, this is a new club that was saying that every day he arrives in training hours before others come. People are like, I thought you don't know that those that people are not serious. No, do you know people that have been talented? Do you know talents that have come and gone in this football? Many. Why am I talking about football? Because it's going to drive my point home. Many have been talented in this same football. Messi is not the most talented person I've seen. Did you meet Ronaldinho? Did you meet some players that are very talented? They will not last on the scene. You know, Messi, did you meet JJ Okocha? The guy, but I'm not saying anything, no. I'm saying it takes hard work to stay relevant for long. Talent is not enough. That same way, in ministry, the fact that you are anointed is not enough. You must be trained for it. If you like, be playing, say me and I can sing. Once they give me a mic, I will sing. You cannot fully flow in the anointing freely and much more if you do not get yourself trained. That's why all this training going on in church is not because you're not anointed. It's to sharpen your skill in the anointing. Sharpen your skill. I was holding a class for some people yesterday, and I was teaching them on how to preach. How to stand on stage and preach. Now, sir, do they used to teach how to preach? They think you should be taught how to preach. There is a reason you are listening to me this morning. There's a reason my words are capturing you this morning. Apart from the fact that I'm anointed, it's still a skill in teaching. Because have you not seen people that are anointed? Yes, they cannot capture their audience. The audience is just waiting for let him do miracle and go. I get the point. You learn. You are trained for ministry. When you become an usher, God graces you for the ushering role. But see, if there's any training the usher needs, you need it. That's how to now become very proficient. There are anointed singers. But let me tell you, if you climb this stage and sing off key, your anointing notwithstanding, nothing will move in this place. Because when you begin to sing off key, we self, we are lost. You get the point? You notice once a singer goes off, you are waiting for him to come back. You just think he should come back now. He's not saying that something. Some that don't even know music, just know something is off about the thing he's doing on the stage. Let him finish and come down. I get the point. Now, so it tells you, it's not just enough to be anointed. God has put his anointing, but has need for training. When Jesus called his disciples, he trained them. After he called them to be with him. Some of you just read about Elisha, who was anointed. Elisha stayed with Elijah for a very long time. I've shown you in the Bible, Elijah had the school of the prophets. That people you call sons of the prophets. Elisha was one of them. Just that Elisha was his personal assistant, his PA, who attended to him personally. But he was part of that school of the prophets. He was one of those sons of the prophets that we are telling Elisha, don't you know that the Lord will take this man away? Now, so Elisha didn't just suddenly become a big prophet. There was training. And in case you don't know, Elisha followed Elijah for over 10 years, actually. And when you read the Bible, you just read that they met Elisha the next verse. No, it took time. So how do I know how long it took? Check who was king when Elijah met Elisha and who was king when Elisha was now taking over. You will see the time frame. Are you following what I'm saying? For long. So it was training. Notice it was the Lord that picked Elisha. God told Elijah, go meet Elisha, son of Shaphat, and anoint him. So he already picked him.
But you have to be trained for it. That's why I would say every kind of training that goes on in church is to sharpen you in the anointing. For instance, there are formal trainings. Things like PGTI Basic, PGTI Advanced, LMP, all those things that are formal trainings. There are informal trainings. For instance, what happens when we are in our teams? What happens when we are interacting? What happens when you are giving instructions? Go buy this. Go pick this. Those things are training. There are anointed pastors who have wrecked their church because they lacked, for instance, training in administration. Or they lacked training in financial management. I get what I'm talking about, friends. So that's it for training. There are anointed ushers who have messed up in their ministry because nobody told them how to rein in their emotions, keep the emotions aside and serve. And I was talking to people I was talking to yesterday, you know, the training I had with them yesterday. And I told them, I gave them an example. I said, when you are with, some of you may not understand it, but let me just say it. When you are with your leader, one of the trainings you must get when you are with a leader, someone that is above you, is that you adopt the emotions of the leader. Are you aware of this? You adopt the emotions of the leader. It's a basic training. Some of you, that's why you lose your job. That's why a lot of things. Because imagine you're in the office, your boss comes in, and it's very jovial that morning. And he said, oh, how are you guys doing? How far? Today's Valentine, no. Did anybody send you? And you just keep a straight face. We are fine, sir. The man is going to interpret it as you are insulting him. I get to the point. This is basic life training. Many people have fallen out with their pastors, for instance. Not because they were rebellious, but because they put on certain attitude. Your leader is saying to that, how far? How are they? You're just curious. We are fine, sir. You're welcome, sir. Can I have the file, sir? You are sending a very wrong message. That same way, imagine your leader walks into the office and is very serious. Say, where is that file? Give me that. And you're laughing. You're a very foolish person. You adopt the emotions of the leader in for that moment. That simple training what if I'm not in that mood? That's exactly what I'm saying. That you shut down your emotions, keep it aside, and put on the mood needed for the moment. That's the training an usher needs, for instance. That's the training the greeter needs. Because sometimes people are coming to church from different walks of life. Different emotions. They are trying to smile and welcome and say, you know, you're welcome. The person just walking and walking past you. You must say, I'm welcoming you. You are not to be an usher. You now need training to manage your emotion. Before you tell them, I'm even talking to you. I'm trying to welcome you. You don't want to be welcome. You get inside, but who wants to welcome you? You must learn to bring emotions. Every ministry office has an anointing for it. But then there is training that sharpens that anointing. Are you following me? Sharpens that anointing. That's why you must be available to be trained. All this information is that is taking place. Available to be trained. What I just told you about adopting the emotion of the leader, my leaders, I've never taught them this. My ministers, I've never taught them this word for word, but they know it. If I come into the office and won't have a meeting, you must be how you must be. Nobody has to tell you that. You must be how you must be at this moment. Basic training. Pastors and leaders, ministers in this church know that you cannot come into this church frowning, no matter what happened to your house. No matter what you did with the keke man, it's basic training. Once you come, you must wear a smile. Basic training. Say, sir, that you are controlling us. Exactly what we are doing. You think I'm going to deny that? That's what pastoring is about. It's shepherding. The shepherd directs the sheep how it will go and where it will go. I get the point. So that you don't walk in the church and that you are frowning. Frowning because you're going to be of help to someone. These are basic trainings. Do you think every time I'm preaching free like this, you think everything is fine? You think I'm always happy? You think everything is working well? It's basic training I've mastered, and I cannot come here and preach my emotions to you because why do I have to adopt emotions that we are not feeling? Because that's what ministry is about. I don't have to preach my emotions. If I preach my emotions to you, all of you may die one day. I'm going to preach my emotions. Just walking through that door. Look at all of you. What are all of you doing here? I imagine the pastor has not eaten. I began to learn this long ago when I was at Abuan. I was having difficulties. I remember one day the Lord sent me help. I can't forget. It was a Tuesday. We used to meet on Tuesday those days. I didn't have money. I didn't have food. Not only have I not eaten throughout that day, okay, I didn't have prepared to go to church. So around 3:30, I had prepared. I was fully dressed so I can begin to trek to get to that place before 5. I was locking my door and somebody came. I'm telling you a real life story. With bike, landed. I said, you didn't tell me you were coming. I'm sorry, sir. It's just that the Lord, I finished cooking, the Lord said that I should get this for you. I said, your ears are open. I said, your ears are open. You are welcome. And thank God she didn't call me before coming because I would have been doing the man of God. He said, no, don't come to my house. I'm very busy. Today is service. But she didn't come. She just came. I ate the food. And I said, track to church. Do you understand? At least, at least. At all. You know, if I had gone to church that day without eating and without, there are many days like that I came to church without eating and check it and I checked the church. And you will never see it. It's a training in the anointing. To not preach your emotions or preach your feeling, but preach the word. You adopt, as a pastor, for instance, you adopt the emotion of the message. It's just basic training. So if you are preaching on joy, you have to adopt the emotion of the message. If you are preaching a sober message, you have to adopt the emotion. Basic training. And so my point is, there is training, even though there is you are anointed. You don't follow me at all. So training helps you make more progress in and with the anointing. You might have a healing ministry, but you must learn how to heal the sick. That's the truth. Dr. T.L. Osborne of Blessed Memory. You know, many people celebrate Valentine on February 14th. For many people, February 14th is the day they remember T.L. Osborne. That was the day he passed on. Right? Now, the man, when they went to India, him and his wife as teenagers, I keep telling you guys this story. They went there. Now, these guys were already on mission. Remember I told you, once you step out, there is grace upon your life. So, no doubt, the grace of God will match upon their life. But they went for that mission and they failed. They failed and they returned back to the U.S. And a great man of God, William Branham, was doing a meeting somewhere around. And they stepped into that meeting and T.L. told the wife, this is the missing link. That was where they got exposed to healing. They began to study a lot of things about healing, about miracles and all of that. And they returned back to that mission field. Even though there was an anointing to heal the sick, there needed to be training and learning. Are you following me? That's why we say things like read books. For instance, you want to have a strong healing ministry. Go and read How to Heal the Sick by T.L. Osborne. It's going to change your life. Get books on healing by Charles and Francis Hunters. It will change your life. It will change your life. Want to be strong in the prophetic? There are books. There are books like School of the Prophets. There are books that you will read. It will sharpen up your prophetic skills. I get what I'm saying? You want to be able to cast out devils. There are books. Good books like that. Get books like, for instance, if you get Kenneth Hagin's book. The Triumphal Church discusses victory over the devil a lot. When you are done, you can face any devil. Now, the anointing is in there. But as you are supposed to training, formal, informal, knowledge and all of that, it sharpens up your skill and your flow in the anointing. Is it clear? So that's, now next, that's training will help you grow in the anointing. Maybe because the anointing. Next is consecration. Consecration. If you consecrate yourself some more, you are going to see more flows of the supernatural through you. This point can never be overemphasized. Let me give you a very big secret. God works with consecrated things. I didn't say people, things. If you check the Old Testament, every time the Lord wants to work with anything, He must tell them to set that thing aside. The Ark of Covenant was specially set aside. You don't just touch it anyhow. Uzzah touched it and died. Specially set aside. If you consecrate anything,
God will walk without him. Go and check the Old Testament. The corpses in the temple were not just ordinary corpses. They were corpses set aside specially for that assignment. Are you following you? The corpses were set aside. Everything. The clothes used in the temple. They were regular clothes you buy from the market, but they were set aside for that assignment. The cups are regular cups, but they were set aside. The bread was regular bread, but they set it aside specially, such that nobody can just go and eat it. So after you buy it in the market, you can go and buy it in the market, but that one in the temple is set aside. That's how God works. And that is what makes for the intensity of the flow from that particular thing. Is that how the ark was treated specially? Such that they kept that ark before a god called Dagon. That Dagon fell. They set it aside. That same way, if a minister sets himself apart, consecrates himself some more, separates himself from certain things and not to certain things, there will be a stronger flow. Now, it's not going to mean more Holy Spirit will enter him. It just means that he has made himself a special vessel such that better, the stronger force of the Spirit can now go through him. Are you know what I'm saying? You know, talking about Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9, Hebrews 1 verse 9, the author of Hebrews was talking about Jesus, of course, quoting from the book of Psalm. He said, thou hast loved righteousness. Let me get it. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, the Lord, therefore God, even thy God, had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Why? You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Now, Jesus was anointed already. But then, because of how he conducted his life, there was a stronger flow of that anointing through his life. And that's why anybody that mingles with anything and everything, we should secure the flow of the Spirit of God through him. Yes. As there is need for consecration. You must separate yourself from certain things, unto certain things. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, Joshua told the people to consecrate themselves unto the Lord. Joshua 3 and verse 5. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourself. This was when they were about to cross Jordan. He said, you must sanctify yourself, you must consecrate yourself, you must separate yourself from certain things, because tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. One of the most accurate scriptures to explain this is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver. I like this verse because it explains how that consecration can make you a special vessel. In quotes, a more anointed vessel. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. Say, in a great house, there are many vessels. There are many vessels. There are many cups. There are many things in a great house. Just like this is a great house. Right? There are many people here. But look at verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So look at that. What determines who becomes a vessel unto honor? If you purge yourself from certain things that Paul has been discussing. So there are things you separate yourself from. There will be a stronger flow. That's why I can say this to you. Know grace. You know grace. You know law. You know mercy. You know all of that. If you don't deliberately separate yourself from certain things and onto other things, there will not be a strong flow of the Spirit through you. I've observed what I'm telling you. There will not be a stronger flow. There are things you remove yourself from. There are things you join yourself to. He said, it's meat for the master's use. I'm prepared unto every good work. So it's not everything you mingle with. It's not every place you go. It's not everybody you talk to. So for instance, you must separate yourself, for instance, from sin. I'll give some example. You must separate yourself from sin. From sin. This is the secret of the Nazarite, for instance. Give me Exodus 28 verse 41. I wish I had more time. Exodus 28 verse 41. Thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his son, and shall anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them. Give me Amplified Classic of this. Let's read together, everybody, like a mass choir once it comes on the screen. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's go. And you shall put them on Aaron your brother and his sons with him, and shall anoint them and ordain them and sanctify them and set them apart for God, that they may serve me as priests. In other words, you must set them apart from every other person. For Aaron to serve as a priest, he cannot be the same with every other person. That is the secret of people we call the Nazarites. The Nazarites were people who were specially set apart for God. There were things they were not doing. They don't drink wine. They don't do many things. And you look at an example of a Nazarite, for instance, was Samson. Was a Nazarite. Another example, John the Baptist. You look at the strongest presence of the hand of God upon those men. And when Samson began to break that consecration, he began to dwindle in influence. I get what I'm saying. Now, when you play with your consecration, the Holy Spirit will not leave you. The anointing will not leave you. Why? Because the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. That without repentance, they will not leave you. But you will dwindle in how that Spirit and anointing gains expression through you. I follow what I'm saying. You've not gained strong expression. So you remove yourself from certain things and attach yourself to other things. This is scattered all over the Bible. In Titus 1 verse 7, Paul told Titus that he that desires that the bishop must be blameless, not self-willed. You know, every time he talks about the bishop or the deacon or a minister, he begins to list things that he must not be, things he must not do, things he must not say, how he must not be. So that is the lifestyle of the anointed. That's what I'm saying. There's the lifestyle of the man that wants to preserve the hand of God upon his life and wants to flow much more and increase that anointing. There's a certain lifestyle that he must carry. So I said, one, separate yourself from sin. What else? Separate yourself from strife. Strife. The servant of the Lord must not strive. You can't keep fighting. Because once you are always very quarrelsome, you are going to shake up how the Spirit of God flows through you. I say it all the time. I do not think that any man of God who is always quarreling with his wife every now and then can rise to the full potential of his calling. Yeah. Strife will stifle spiritual flows. Are you following me? Strife will. And I've told you, you can't carry too much bitterness, too much anger. Blah, 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 blah. It's going to short circuit how the Spirit of God flows through you. I'm saying this for a reason, no. So that you do not begin to wonder why is God going to be this person and not the other person. Consecration. Remove yourself from strife. That was the secret of Abraham. That was Abraham's secret. Every time there was strife, he ran away. When Lot began to add drama, that was the secret of David. Every time there was strife, David runs away. Opportunity to kill Saul, he didn't do it. Opportunity to hurt Absalom, he didn't do it. All his children rose against him. He never fought back. David was a man who knew the battles to fight and battles to avoid. He never fought Saul. He never fought Absalom. He never fought any of his children. He knew what to fight. He knew what to avoid. No room for strife. What was it that opened Saul up to a strange spirit? His hatred for David. Hated the guy, trying to kill him. A strange spirit took over him. Let me tell you, I'll get to that on Thursday. I thought I was going to touch that today. You want to say stronger? Another way to grow strong in the anointing, we're going to get to that, is love. I'll touch it on Thursday. Because once there is strife, you're going to affect spiritual flows. And so, separate from sin, from strife, from certain relationships. You cannot possibly make progress in the anointing and be close to everybody. Consecration demands that you remove yourself from certain people. Anybody, go and read the Old Testament too.
Those guys who were anointed, you don't find them everywhere. They don't mix with everybody. Let me ask you a question. What is in Igbo land, some of that are Igbos and, you know, Africans, we are all Africans. What is one thing you used to know a very great native doctor? They stay away from people. They're always in the bush. Yes. You know what they're practicing? Consecration. They're separating themselves from every other person. The man of God, who everybody is his friend, always jumping up and down, always jesting with everybody. Anybody say that, wee wee. That is why the hand of God is not very strong upon you and through you. Call it anything you want. I can't mingle with everybody. Call it anything you want. Call it pride. Call it whatever. I can't. I get the point. And even when I mingle with everybody, you should know there are certain times that I just want to stay. Not this type of staying that you guys used to practice. So I want to travel and leave this place and be alone. That's what I'm saying. At certain times I just want to pray. You know the thing about mingling with everybody? You will not have all the time to pray. Because there's always somebody to talk to. You want to say in Jesus' name, somebody calls you, say, babe, Jesus, day. I get the point. Jesus didn't have many friends, so Jesus was the friend of sinners. Well, Jesus was not the friend of sinners. Jesus was called the friend of sinners because he was eating with them. He never said he was a friend of sinners. They said, he's a friend of sinners. He was eating with them to win them. But you won't find us everywhere and talking with everybody. He's seen with Herod, seen with this one, seen with Nicodemus, say, hello, that's not Jesus. So he was away from certain relationships. As I'm going to add, part of consecration also is that you separate yourself sometimes from certain pleasure, certain entertainment. Now, if there is no time in your life that occasionally you remove yourself from pleasure, from food, from social media, you will not have strong flows of the anointing through you. There should be times in your life where you're not doing social media and you're spending time to pray. There should be times in your life, that's the idea of, that's the thing behind fasting. Times in your life where you're not eating. Where you just shut down everything and just stay. Do you know that John the Baptist ate only one kind of meal all his life? Locust, wild honey. Why? That is, he lived a fasted life. He was just eating to stay alive. That's all. And you wonder, how come these guys are so anointed? It's a separated life. A consecrated life. From certain friendship, from certain things at certain moments. That should be in your life that throughout this month, there is no too much room for pleasure. No too much room for jesting. No too much room for social media. No too much time to eat. Everything you are eating. Everything you are eating. You eat like a mad person. Everything. Everything. Amen. Now, I was using people. We went to somewhere, my wife and I, and it was a buffet stand kind of place. You know, where you just get in, and anything you want, whatever quantity you want, you can just take and eat. And I just sat there, and I saw how that people are totally lack self-control. Lots of people are still practicing consecrated life with food because they've not seen food. What do you need to take in that kind of place? It's not what you fill your stomach. Someone took fried rice, basmati rice, jollof rice, spaghetti. In one plate. Then chicken. Different things. Everything is just take. Praise God. Problem is, he didn't finish it. You cannot finish. Will you develop new stomach? If you can finish it, it's fine. But even if you can finish it, why did you take everything? Want to taste everything? But I'm saying, imagine that kind of environment. If some people are fasting, they will break their fast immediately. One of the trainings that the Lord gave me, I can't forget. 3 to 4 consecutive years of my Christian walk, I was fasting on Christmas and New Year days. Yes. And I didn't, nobody told me. He would just tell me, you are fasting today. And then, you know, things used to pass on those days. Chicken will pass. Rice will pass. I'll just be shabarakadalaba. We will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise for great. There are many things I learned actually by removing yourself from food. You learn how to shut down your appetite. I remember one day, one of those days, they pitied me that day. Because not only was it festive period, they were coming to marry one of my aunties. You know, her people were, they were coming. And they made this kind of food I've never seen in my life. But I was fasting. Thank God that my auntie liked me. So she separated my own. Like I separated myself unto the Lord. So when I finished around 8 p.m., he said, "Ah, only come." So I kept it, but I said, "Thank you, man." But you know, the point was, it didn't matter at that time. There are certain things you remove yourself from so you can just seek the Lord. Daniel said, for 3 weeks, I ate no choice meat. No choice food. What does that mean? He was just eating things that would keep him alive. No meat, nothing. Just seeking the Lord. Some of us, if we ask you not to do TikTok for 1 week so that you can pray, something will be wrong. How do you think you can flow, you can command strong flows of the anointing when you are just attached to everything? Separate yourself from certain things. Attach yourself to other things. Separate yourself to prayers, to fasting. Are you following me? To prayers, to fasting. Consecrate your time. The Bible says we should dedicate our lives and live our lives as a living sacrifice. Consecration demands that you must stop living for yourself and start living for Jesus. Stop living for yourself and start living for Jesus. Start living for Jesus. That will make you a special vessel that God can pass through. Now, I'm not saying you should live a boring life. Nothing is even boring about this kind of love, I'm telling you. Have a stronger flow with the Holy Spirit. That is the lifestyle of the anointed, though. That is the lifestyle of the anointed. Now, I want to ask you a question because I just want to close. I can't continue in my notes now. Apart from sin, strife, and all of those things, are there certain things in your life that you do not do because of your walk with God? So I don't do this. I don't dress in this way. Do you have some consequence? Because that's actually what makes you a special vessel of honor. There are people, there is nothing that is against their faith. That's something they don't do. The one you are fighting, is it wrong to kiss in relationship? Even that one that is sin, you are fighting. Are there not things that you don't do just because of what you want God to do with you and through you? You know, Jeremiah, I think chapter 35, talks about a certain family, the Rechabites. You read about the Rechabites? Jeremiah 35 verse 1. You read about the Rechabites? There's a certain family. He said, "Go look at this, because I want to see how God works with people. Go unto the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them. Bring them into the house of the Lord." This was God talking to Jeremiah. Like Prophet Jeremiah came to the Rechabites. Say, "Bring the house of the Lord into one of the chambers and give them wine to drink." When prophet calls you and gives you wine, that must be from the Lord. But look at what happened in verse 3. "Then I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the house, sons of Hanan, and the son of Igdaliah." I know that boy. a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of the Messiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I said before the sons of the house of Jacobites, pots full of wine and cups. And I said to them, drink ye wine. Prophets called them and said, drink, enjoy your life. So I said, woo, glory to God. What a day to be alive. Well, look at verse 6. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Consecration. Are there things that you don't do? Are you aware there was a man called Uriah that David called and told him, go home, leave this battle that fighting. Just go home and enjoy your life with your wife. He slept at the door of the palace. Now, if you want to see stronger fruit of the anointing through you, it's not everything you must do. It's not everything you must. I'm not saying God is saying, if you do that, I will stop using you. No. You will just stifle the flow of the grace of God through your life. Simple. Now, believe what I'm saying. Doubt it. But if you pay attention to the life of anointed men, that is a pattern. That is a lifestyle. It's not everything they do. You know, I believe in the grace message. You can call me a grace preacher, you will not be wrong. Okay? But you see, I've also studied the life of powerful grace preachers. You know, people think that grace is just, I mean, grace preachers, God has paid for all our sins. Let's do anything we want. Have you looked at Joseph Prince's ministry? The one all of you are following. All of us. I read Joseph Prince's book a lot. Look at his ministry. Joseph Prince does not counsel any woman in his ministry. He doesn't counsel any woman. No matter what is wrong with you. Even if you want to die. He said, I have trained women ministers that will counsel you. But the grace message we received in Nigeria is that brother can hug his and say, we are under grace that will produce disgrace. Well, no woman. Look at Kenneth E. Hagin. Same pattern in their ministry. You can't go to Rema now, you know, and then you are walking out of the door and you are holding a woman's hand that is not your wife. You can't do it in Rema. It's totally against their culture. With all the righteousness by faith, they know. That is the lifestyle of the anointed. What destroys Samson was that he did not know his consecration. He didn't know it. Everything Samson was told not to do, he did it. Samson, you are not to even touch a dead body. But Samson will kill an animal, come the next day, and go there. He didn't only touch it, he took honey. Because bees gathered around that, but he took honey, ate it, and gave the father to it. Suddenly, everybody Samson ever fell in love with was a Philistine. One of the cases was a harlot. Now, he did not understand that this thing you are carrying, you have to be separated for it to keep flowing through you. Not everything is for you. I get what I'm talking about. Not everything is for you. And as you grow your walk with God, God will place more demands of consecration on you. Much more demands. Much more demands. It's not everything you should do. It's everywhere you should go to. It's not everybody you should talk to. It's not every friend you should have. And even when you do many things, there are certain seasons that you just don't do some things for this season. Say, for now, no, I'm not doing it. For now. We're not doing food for now. I just want to pray. I'm not doing many friends for now. I just want to pray. Try what I'm saying. You will see stronger flows of the anointing through you. Are you following me? If you stay close to me, you know that there are many things I don't do. Many things. And let me tell you, one of the things to show that I am making progress in the anointing is that your consecration keeps increasing. There are certain things I could do 2 years ago. Now I can't allow them around me. It's not because I'm afraid of hell. I get what I'm saying? Just because there is much more. And I still want to remain that person that God can pass through and bless people. Pay the price for the anointing. Now, by this statement, I'm not saying pay the price for God to give you something. But for you to become a blessing that God will pass through, pay the price for it. Consecrate yourself. Set some things aside. Consecrate, for instance, your time. Your prayer time. Study time. Consecrate your life. Stay away from certain things. Don't flow with certain people. Don't dress in certain ways. Just set yourself apart specially for the use of God. And let's see whether He will not use you. Let's see whether He will not use you. Just let's see how He will not use you. How did Jesus prepare the disciples for the influence of the Holy Ghost? He set them apart for 50 days. Took them 40 days, set them apart, teaching them 40 days. Sent them 10 days to the upper room for 50 days away from people. Away from everything. Away from everything. Those guys became different men. That's the secret of retreats. It's a part of consecration. After some time, shut down everything. Take 3 days. Take 1 week off. Just go and pray. Just go and pray. The thing is, your business will not scatter. You're not just aware. Take time. Take time. Take 3 days. Take 4 days. Say, sir, my business, if I do, my business will scatter. When people talk like that, I just know that they don't have value. Your business will scatter. Yes, when you start planning your wedding, you can take 1 week off. After your wedding, you can take 1 week and do honeymoon. Say, boy, it's my wedding, duh. Yes. It's your consecration, duh. Take time off. Go on a retreat. Occasionally. Occasionally. I got what I'm saying. You can set it. First weekend of every month. Last weekend of every month. I got what I'm saying. I'm going to take time off and go and pray. You will see strong guys, especially of the hand of God through you. You will see it. Are you following me? Consecration is what strengthens the flow of the anointing through you. And I can tell you, there's a lot that God wants to do with you. But you must pay the price. And sometimes, the price for the anointing is everything. Everything. It's, you know, everything. You might need to lose relationships. You might lose some time. You might lose some weight. But just set some things apart. And you will see. Recently, the Lord was talking to me about this healing and answers, you know, school that we're starting. The Lord said that to me, I don't know when I just voiced from my mouth. That means there is more consecration. I just knew it. Because every time God gives a new assignment, it means that it's a grace that's made available for that assignment. I must set myself apart to steward that grace properly. Are you following me? Now, it's not because if I set myself apart, God will now begin to pour fire upon me. No. But once I set myself apart, it becomes easy for me to become the vessel that I can pass through. Look at the life of Jesus. Look at everybody. It was that life. How many of you know that even Paul the Apostle took it to a point that he didn't even get married? And he wrote to us why in 1 Corinthians 7. He said, because your married man has more time with the Lord. That's why. Now, you may not do that, right? But then, please set yourself apart. Always, and I'm going to close now, always see yourself as, I am a special vessel. If you carry this mindset, people will not intimidate you. Why won't you drink with us? I am not the same with you. Yeah. There is this new dress raining. Why will you wear it? I won't wear it. I'm not the same with you. I get any point. I'm not the same with you. Hallelujah. Stand your feet. Stand your feet. God wants to pass through you to bless your generation. The anointing wants to flow through you. You want to see an increased flow of this anointing. The then you must set yourself up. And this is calling for something strong. I talked about just two things this morning. Training and consecration. Set yourself apart to training. Set yourself apart from certain things. Set yourself apart from certain things. Think now. Think. The small Bible you know. Think of any man you know that God used mightily in the Bible. Look at their lifestyle. Observe their lifestyle. Look at Jeremiah. Look at Elijah. Look, they were just totally different people. The day the Lord called Elisha, he left his business. He shut down his farm and followed Elijah. He didn't want anybody to say, oh, Elijah, he didn't want Elijah to sometimes miss him. He said, I'm going to follow you all the rest of my life. Consecration. And they had a lifestyle. Look at John the Baptist. Lifestyle. He grew up. I'm trying to show you a pattern. He grew up, left his father's house, went to the wilderness. The Bible said he stayed there. Luke 1 verse 80. To the time of his showing forth to Israel. He stayed there. Was he struck in spirit? So when John came out, John carried a strange grace. Do you know John was one guy? You won't record any miracle. There's no record any miracle about him. That he healed the sick or raised the dead. But he would stand and preach. Soldiers will be begging him. They followed him everywhere. He even insulted them. You brood of vipers. They couldn't do anything to him. The man carried so much. His words threatened him. You know why John was killed? His words threatened Herod. What did he say? He didn't tell Herod I'll kill you. He just told Herod, it is wrong for you to marry your brother's wife. That's all. The whole city began to shake. John the Baptist. Consecration will make you a stronger vessel. And we strengthen the intensity of the hand of God that is upon your life. And how it flows through to bless people. Lift up, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.